she is, Susie Sunshine. She's our financial analyst for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. And
we've got a lot to analyze.
Yeah. You know what? All day long, people have been calling and texting and saying, when is Susie Sunshine going to be on? Because I want to know what happened with the markets, because this is one of the most curious outcomes from the second most curious outcome from the election, which is when last night it appeared that Donald Trump was going to win and the international markets, as they reflect American equities through the futures indexes traded in Japan and in China and Singapore, and then heading, as you continued to head east into Europe, there was all kinds of dire stuff. 700 points at one point, the Dow futures were down last night. And then you wake up and the birds are chirping and the Dow hit a new record today. How did that happen?
Well, we learned from Brexit. And so unlike Brexit, where people were really caught by surprise, the market never totally trusted the polls because they knew the polls weren't right on Brexit. So there was some anxiety going into the election, but people put hedges in place and they were a little more hedged and just prepared in case it was an unexpected outcome. Now, we all know the market doesn't like to be surprised. So you saw it down overnight. And the Asian markets, of course, were still open. So fortunately, we were all asleep, or the markets were asleep. We had time to digest this before the market opened. And having Trump come out and then Clinton's people come out in that conciliatory tone, where we're all going to be friends, we're going to find a way to get together here on this, I think that really helped calm things. And once you heard more talk about an infrastructure spend, some sort of tax package, those are all things the market loves to hear about. So that's what then propelled it during the day, because if we get that spend, that's really good for business and it should be really good for the economy.
But Susan, you talk about uncertainty all the time with us and how the market doesn't like that. And yet he seems to be one of those figures who is largely, you're uncertain about a lot of the moves he's going to make, even in terms of the detail around his policy of what he'll actually do,
right,
his ability to be thin-skinned and react in a way that you're not unexpectedly. Isn't that something that is a concern at this point?
That is a concern. But right now, the market is looking at the surface. And so what they want to see is on the surface, they want to see talk of infrastructure spend, which had been talked around during the campaigns. And so they want to hear that repeated. They're hearing that. So there's some comfort from that. There's no detail out there. So this is a short-lived euphoria that will settle back down. And it's not it by any means. This is, we talk about volatility. Volatility hasn't stopped just because the election's over. We still have the Fed coming up in December and what happens with interest rates. So we sort of set the stage for continued concern until we get more detail around Trump's plans. But I think what we saw was a little bit of a euphoria today because they were talking, oh, these are all the things we like. Tax cuts, that's good. You know, spending, that's good for business. We really like that. It seemed to be sort of economy friendly, growth friendly, reducing regulation. So all those were the nice sound bites that the market wanted to hear to make it happy. And that's why you saw the bump up today. And because people were savvy after Brexit, when the polls were absolutely wrong, that maybe that could happen again. And as it turns out, it did happen again. And that's what really saved people coming into this. They had time to digest and then they absorbed it. And we were really off to the races today, up over 1%.
Now, let's talk about the first 100 days. They've come out and talked about the things that they want to do in the first 100 days. The list is out. And other than the, as you just mentioned, this big infrastructure spend, which is not quite as robust as Clinton was proposing. And this has been, we talked to Brett Baer a little bit earlier, he pointed out that this has been on Capitol Hill. These bills have already been floating around through the House and the Senate, and this is just a matter of lining them up with the agenda as pre-designated by the Trump campaign, now the Trump administration, and their transition team. What they're going to do is you know, get the one that fits them most closely and scores out as well, I'm assuming, scores out as well as possible. We might have to explain that to him, what that means. But then he... But that gets done. So that will be good for the economy because, again, as you're pointing out, that's going to put money in the pockets of people who are going to go out and get jobs. It's government jobs. I mean, it is antithetical to the original theories of the Republican Party that, you know, make the government smaller. He's going to make the government much larger in this in terms of the spend. But OK, so that's what he's doing in the short term. That may have a stimulus effect, as you're pointing out. Now, the other piece here, though, you've got military spend. Which is going to, that's also very good for the infrastructure. Again,
well,
very
defense,
expensive.
We saw very, very good for defense companies. We saw the defense companies on a run today because he has talked about military spend. So we've seen all those, the engineering and construction firms, the infrastructure and defense companies, all in healthcare, because healthcare probably isn't going to be under attack now.
Okay, now wait. Now that's interesting. Okay,
it
so let's
interesting, right?
Now let's. That was my next question. You got ahead of me. So the repeal and replace Obamacare. That's a very complicated thing. People like to say it. Nobody, including I think the people who say it for political purposes, understand exactly what that means. So What will that look like? Do you think from a business perspective?
There's no way to tell. What we do know is that Clinton was very vocal about coming out after drug companies, big pharma, and the system wanting to improve the Affordable Care Act. We also know that pricing just rolled on the Affordable Care Act. So the constituents, all of our population, is now looking at it. And if you have the ACA, you just got your new bill, and it probably went up 50%+. So we've got some shock factor going on, rippling through there. No one knows how reforming it, eliminating it, how that new healthcare system is going to look. And Trump hasn't given us any detail about it. It is a big tangle. We have not had an administration who successfully tackled this problem, I would say, yet. And so for Trump to take it on, that's a huge ambition. I do think that the healthcare companies will respond, and I think the stocks are going to feel a little bit of relief going into year end because he is being more supportive of it overall. It's going to be a more rational system. That sounds good to market makers. It sounds like that's supportive of business. So they like that. We're seeing that relief in the healthcare stocks, but this is still a problem, and it will continue to be a problem. There's no easy solution here.
Because the market forces in the healthcare industry are the insurance companies and the hospitals, and they're constantly in, or healthcare providers, whether it's big pharma, as you point out, or the hospitals. So the big issue there is, how does one pay for this party, right? We as individuals, you know, we get sick, we call our doctor. Our doctor says, come in, mm-hmm. and then they run some tests, and then the fight begins between the doctor's office and the insurance company. What are they going to cover? What are they not going to cover?
For? What are you going to have to do out of pocket?
Right, and who gets what price, right? It's not a set price. For same price doesn't apply to everyone. People get different pricing. It becomes very complicated. And so that's a big issue in how to untangle that mess. We have seen them talk about it. It's becoming more visible, the conflicts within. We've heard the insurance companies come out and back out of markets because they can't afford it. So we're starting to see the pressure points. And I think hopefully that's what the administration will start to address and start to unravel it, attacking on the pressure points and working themselves, you know, into the system and discovering what the true problems are.
All right.
What is the market? What about the NAFTA and the trade agreements and his stance on
anyone,
those?
So in terms of international exposure, all those companies, investors are taking a step back and looking at them and wondering, because with his trade term, it's very unclear what's going to happen. So companies with big international exposure, I expect to have much more volatility going in sort of through his, through this nomination. We've seen that. We've seen anytime Trump has talked about trade, it has been difficult for international companies. And so I expect that to continue. We don't know what he's going to do with trade. That's been some of his harshest language. So those companies, when you look at what you're invested in, think domestic. You want to have more domestic exposure than you have international, because international is going to have a lot of volatility and a lot of risk right now.
Gold.
Gold.
Money under the mattress.
Just want that little safe. I know. Gold has been a flight to safety. So when gold goes up, and it was up today, it's a flight to safety, it's a flight to the known, it's a reaction to, all right, something happened and I'm a little bit shocked. Gold didn't really rip today. It did well. It's been recovering. It's, you know, 1300 something an ounce. And so gold, not a great place to be, I think. It's, you know, fine as a commodity, but it's in the commodity complex. You people use it when they're scared. And I don't think people are in the ultimate panic stage yet. So right now, I don't know that. I know you want that little safe row. You just covet it and you want to have it for your gold.
The one that, right.
Yeah.
The one I see on TV, the William Devane is trying to sell me.
Yeah, that one sounds good, exactly. Doesn't it, when you hear him say it?
What's in your safe or wallet or something?
I don't know that I would rush to that right now. We're not seeing a big reaction.
I got to tell you, though,
as a result of this.
I'm not going to go with the gold this week. Tom Selleck sold me a reverse mortgage.
Right.
So I'm going to go with his instead.
You're good. Just try one thing at
a time.
That,
yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
And I also got a dust mop that twists and it's the most amazing thing.
We have Chia Pets too.
Yep, I got it all. I got it all.
Quite a few of those.
All right. So right now there will be volatility, but this gigantic dump did not seem to happen today. And you never know what happens tomorrow.
No, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I really do think timing helped us out here. The fact that he spoke overnight, the fact that it was a conciliatory tone, and the fact that he talked about infrastructure packages, spending by the government, tax relief, and reduction of regulatory, that's all those topics the market loves to hear about, and that's where you got the lift and the support today. And so as long as those sound bites continue, it's great. When you get into the nitty-gritty, then we're going to see that volatility come back, and there'll be some problems.
All right.
Susan Schmidt, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
from
Susan.
Westwood in Dallas. There she goes. Okay. Violetta Panamanik, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. But first...